All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Awesome. Take two. Mark.
Set up.
And
action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the show. I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
What's up?
In that 1 second while you were starting the introduction, I had clicked on something on the show notes and had forgotten what we were doing.
Instantly.
But I caught right back up.
Oh, wait, the podcast. That's right.
Oh, shit. We're doing that again?
Don't tell me this is the 120th week in a row. Oh, my gosh.
Yay.
I can't believe it. So, listen,
we can
jib jab back and forth all we want, right?
right.
But when it comes down to it, my man, we got some news here.
Yeah. Hard hitting.
Yeah. Hannah John Kamen. Kamen? Common.
Is this your friend Hannah?
No.
Different. Totally different.
Totally,
Hannah.
This is not my friend Hannah. This is not your dog Hannah.
This is not my dog Hannah. No. Okay.
Yeah.
What about Kayla's friend Hannah? This is not her either.
Was that? She's Kayla's, the one that likes Mezozo?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It could be her.
and her cousin Mezozi.
Yeah. Mezozi. Yeah. Hannah John Kamen is going to be playing Red Sonja, which is a big like 80s pop culture thing. Like comics. I don't know if she had a show or whatever. But if you're not familiar with this actress, she played, I believe the character's name was Ghost in Ant-Man and the Wasp. She was the villain that could like phase through things and stuff.
Okay.
You remember? So she's a good actress from what I've seen her in, which is that one movie.
Yep.
So
she was also in Ready Player One, if I remember correctly.
Oh.
She played Finale.
Hmm. That movie is like visual diarrhea. I can't handle it.
What's Red Sonja, though?
Red Sonja is like, it was a comic, I think. It's like, it's one of those things where you see the image and I'm like, oh yeah, that's Red Sonja. It's like Conan Barbarian, but it's a woman.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I mean, she looks badass. And so, I guess it was a movie in 1985.
The fearless warrior Red Sonja sets out to avenge her family's murder and rid her kingdom from the tyrannical rule of the evil Queen Gidrun. It looks like it has the future governor of California in it with her.
It might possibly.
Yeah, and here's your sure sign that it's a quality film, besides the fact that it came out in 1985.
Okay, all right.
Well, I guess I should back the train up because it was released on 4th of July weekend, so somebody thought it was good. But it has a running time of 89 minutes.
Well, I mean, 1985, that's decently lengthed, right?
I guess. I would love to have more 89-minute movies.
The dream, huh?
That's the dream. Well, we're doing that this weekend with Spiral. It's not 89, but it's like 96 or something like that. It's short.
I got to say this about Spiral. That movie looks like it's going to be like really popular and well done and good. And I just cannot put that into me, like that subject matter. I can't handle it.
So all right, I'm with you, but staying with Red Sonja.
Yeah.
Or what are we saying? Are we saying there's going to be a reboot?
Yeah. They're rebooting it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. She's going to be Red Sonja.
Did you see on Saturday Night Live this weekend, there were two really funny skits that we should talk about. The first one is the skit where they made fun of Pennsylvania.
I did not see that. No.
Yeah, it was pretty good. They talked about they murdered my dirter and like they just made fun of like the southeastern Pennsylvania accents and everything like that. But the other skit that was really funny was they had Mario from Mario Kart.
Mm-hmm.
he was in the court because he was suing Wario.
Okay.
And that, like, the evil Mario.
Yeah.
And they had all, like, the characters from the different Mario Kart. They had Luigi and Bad Luigi, whatever that guy's name was. And
Waluigi.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Yeah. They had Waluigi. And they had the princess. And then, like, the judge was hitting the – every time she hit the gavel, it made, like, that – like, that video game sound. It was a riot. It was really funny. And it was kind of fun to see. I was kind of interested, like, I wonder how Super Mario Brothers got back into, like, the consciousness to appear on a Saturday Night Live sketch.
Well, funny you might say that, because Nintendo is, like, time to make a new Super Mario Bros. Movie.
So do you think that's a coincidence? Or do you think Nintendo... I wonder if Universal is putting out this Nintendo franchise, then they obviously got to the writers at Saturday Night Live and were like, you need to start writing shit about Mario Kart.
That could be. It also could be that the Nintendo Switch is, like, outselling all the other systems right now.
Is it?
Well, I mean, like, in quantity, not price-wise. Gotcha. And a lot of that has to do with the chip shortage and all that stuff, too. But the Switch is huge right now. Mario games are incredibly popular. So anyway, but
I wish everybody could have just seen David's face when he said the chip shortage. Like, you don't even know what a thorn in my side this chip shortage has been. Am I right?
Come on, guys. But more than just the Super Mario Bros. Movie, Nintendo's eyeing up making movies from other franchises or brands that they have, like. Potentially Zelda, Donkey Kong, you know.
Great.
Who knows? Yeah, I think this is awesome. It's about time Nintendo gets on that bandwagon. Hopefully they do it good this time, unlike the last Super Mario Bros. Movie.
I did not know that there was a previous Super Mario Bros.
What?
Movie.
Wait, are you serious?
Yeah.
You need to watch it because it's considered one of the worst movies ever made.
When did it come out?
90-something.
Oh, wait a minute. Stop the presses.
Yeah. John Leguizamo and Bob Costas.
The sports announcer?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's not Bob Costas. It's Bob. Who is it? Who is it? I'm looking it up.
I'm trying to come up with like another sports announcer, like Terry Bradshaw or something.
Bob Hoskins.
Bob Hoskins. Yeah.
Dennis Hopper.
Yep.
Yeah. It's horrible. And it's like,
well, I could just from that cast, you know, they were all just literally sitting around smoking weed, drinking, taking shots. And like,
but the thing is, it was some of the cast. Yes. But there are like books written on about how poorly made this movie was because of the directors and like, and stuff and how it just totally went wrong. And anyway,
okay, perfect.
Just a little before we move on, just want to rock your brain a little bit more.
Yeah.
About Mario, right? So they're the Super Mario Brothers, right? So that means Luigi's last name is Mario.
Okay.
Which means that Mario's name is Mario Mario.
Right.
How do you feel about that?
I'm cool with that, David.
Okay, all right, cool. All right, moving on. All right, what do you got for me? Just rock your world a little bit.
First name Doctor, last name Strange. Doctor Strange 2 had to be rewritten when whose cameo was pulled from WandaVision?
When Doctor Strange's cameo was pulled from WandaVision.
Why did it have to be rewritten?
Well,
we win.
They announced that Wanda was going to be in Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, and they were going to have the whole everything going on in WandaVision be the introduction to him and her, and you know, this way when they came into the movies, they would have already been connected. But because they decided to leave him out, that they had to rewrite Doctor Strange 2 portions of it to explain why they would meet. Or have the scene where they met up and, like, decided to start traveling together because he was there. I was reading, apparently, you know how there was commercials in WandaVision?
Yeah.
One of the ideas was that maybe he was trying to contact her through the commercials, or he would show up at the like climactic finale or something and whisk her away to help him.
Gotcha.
Something like that. So, yeah.
Well, I can't wait. I mean, we're going to talk about it in a minute, but that Marvel sizzle trailer, I just can't even sit still. That was so much fun and teased so much exciting stuff. But before we get to that, speaking of Marvel content or Marvel content, Dave Bautista says he's done playing Drax after Guardians 3, but James Gunn is like, nah, brah, there's no Drax for me without you, buddy boy. You are the Marvel's Drax the Destroyer. And as far as I'm concerned, James Gunn continued, could never be replaced. And as you have the right to do whatever you want with your acting choices.
Yeah, I think you gave the wrong connotation there. He was saying, if you don't want it to be Drax, then we're done with Drax.
Right. No, that's what I was trying to convey.
Okay. Not that they were going to force him to play Drax forever. They're just not going to have Drax without him.
Yeah.
So I think that's cool. I think Marvel's at a point now, with all the stuff they got going on, they're gonna start losing and gaining actors like constantly.
Right.
I think they're setting it up to like phase people in and out, and that's great. And they need to be okay with characters just kind of going away. And I think if they do that and they do it right, they're more likely to get these actors back for big cameos later.
Right.
If they want them.
Yeah, you just don't burn that bridge, and you manage that relationship. And
right.
Yeah, I think it's absolutely brilliant. And I think it goes, again, another example of how Marvel does it right and DC does it bad.
Yeah.
Like, I was just reading about that whole hubbub. I didn't think it warranted news, but since we're on the topic, the whole hubbub about Gal Gadot and Joss Whedon.
Yeah.
And how awful he was to her and, you know, this kind of stuff. And she wasn't trying to, like, it wasn't like a cancel culture article. It was more just like, hey, I had a shitty time with this guy and he's a jerk. And we dealt with it on set. But to me, like, that relationship is the antithesis of James Gunn and Dave Bautista. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, there's no relationship between Joss Whedon and his actors, as opposed to James Gunn, who, you know, has these great relationships and these ongoing success together, whereas Warner Brothers just, or DC just can't get out of its own way.
Right. I agree. I think that's, and you saw it even when James Gunn went to do Suicide Squad, and there was a big question, will he be back for Guardians 3? And like, most of the Guardians actors were like, if he's not involved, like, I don't want to do it. Like,
right.
Like, it's got to be him, or let's just not make the movie.
Right.
So, speaking more about James Gunn, he hints there will be multiple stingers at the end of the Suicide Squad. So, for those who aren't familiar with what a stinger is, Penn, what can you tell us what that is?
Are there really podcasts at penncinema.com? If you are listening to the Penn Cinema podcast and you don't know what a stinger is, I believe that lots of people don't know what a stinger is, yeah. But I think people who are still listening after 20 minutes of nonsense, if you're still listening, you probably know what a stinger is. But in case you don't, in case my dad has finally crossed the threshold, crossed the River Jordan to the other side, Pop, the stinger is a really cool thing. And the first time I ever remember seeing a stinger was at the end of Ferris Bueller's Day Off in the 80s. We're all watching the credits and we're all walking out of the movie theater. And all of a sudden, Ferris Bueller is back on screen in his bathrobe. And everybody's like, oh, what? Oh, Ferris Bueller, it's not over. Oh. And then he says, he like breaks the fourth wall and looks at the audience and he's like, what are you doing here? It's over. Go home.
Yeah.
And then he like walks off and then he turns around again. And he's like, go home. It's over. And so that was the first time. That's like, to me, that's the first stinger that I think ever happened. And I might be wrong on that. educate me if there's a, if you remember a stinger, if you're aware of a stinger before Ferris Bueller's Day Off. But they really became popular with the Marvel Universe at the end of Iron Man in 08. Am I right on this, David?
This was the first time
that stingers, first of all, were significant, and second of all, were used to tease future films. So if I remember correctly, the stinger at the end of Iron Man was what's his face sitting in a donut, right?
No, that was in Iron Man 2. The post credits to Iron Man is he comes home and Jarvis is messed up, and it's Samuel Jackson saying, "What do you know about the Avengers Initiative?"
Okay.
Yeah.
Who was sitting in the donut?
That was Iron Man, but that was during Iron Man 2.
Okay. All right. So, but yeah, it was the, my point is I got the visuals mixed up, but that was the first hint of like Avengers. And I remember like everybody went crazy.
And you so know, many talking people about, missed it.
Right. Right. And to this day, Marvel movies typically have stingers and other movies typically do not. Not that there is ever like I think after the last Avengers, there was not a stinger. Or maybe there was like a mid-credits stinger, but there was not a second stinger because they were trying to like mark the end of a phase. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
I don't remember what happens at the end of Avengers. No, the end of Avengers, I think, has the first Avengers is when you see Thanos and he puts the gauntlet on and he says, "Fine, I'll do it myself."
And it's,
that there's a bigger universe beyond this.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's only like the one that didn't have first one that comes to mind that didn't have like a real end credit stinger was Captain America, the first Avenger. His stinger is literally just a trailer for Avengers.
Gotcha.
So
I'm curious what moviegoers think. I said something, I had an experience with a guy the other day, and after I walked away, so my normal position is if I'm waiting to clean a theater and a guy's in there watching the credits and I get the sense that he's waiting for a stinger. So my normal position is like, just leave him alone. You know, he's enjoying the show. He's relaxing, you know, let him have the thrill or the disappointment of the thrill of a stinger or the disappointment of not having a stinger, but it's all part of his, you know,
right.
You know, his entertainment. And so I typically leave them alone. But the other day I went into a theater and everybody had left and there was just one guy standing. He had left his seat and was standing in the back watching the credits. And I walked in to see what was going on, like to see if I could start cleaning the theater yet. And this was an effort, of course. And the guy looks at me and he says, or no, he just looks at me and then he looks back at the screen. And I said, "There's no stinger." And he said, "Are you sure?" And I said, "Oh, I'm sorry." He was watching Mortal Kombat. And I said, there's no stinger." And he was like, "Are you sure?" And I said, "Yeah. I mean, I've, you know, walked through these credits 100 times. There's no stinger." And he was like, "Oh, okay." And then he left. And I felt like maybe I shouldn't have said anything to him. Like, do you think it was obnoxious of me to tell him? Because I wasn't trying to rush him out. I didn't care. But I just felt like after he left, I was like, oh, I should have just left him alone.
No, I think that's fine because there's definitely been times where we've been sitting there and like, I don't know. And I've seen the cleaners come in and I've been like, is there anything? And they were like, nah. And I'm like, okay, I'm out.
Like, yeah. Yeah. You can definitely, when you see the kids ready to clean the theater, you can definitely ask them because I promise you they know.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm looking here. It says the first movie with a stinger was The Silencers in 1966, followed by the next movie to do it was The Muppet Movie.
Oh, yeah.
And then Airplane, Masters of the Universe, a few others, and then Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Okay. So, you know what movie that is currently in theaters that has a stinger, and we've talked about it on the show? You know what movie that is?
What's that?
Tom and Jerry.
Oh, really?
Has the stinger at the end.
Good old Chloe Grace Moretz.
The singer was with my boy, Colin Jost.
Colin Jost?
Colin Jost, but half the time the guests, when they come in to do like mock interviews, they call him Colin Jost. Anyway, speaking of Saturday Night Live, which is airing on NBC, NBC pulled the plugs on the Golden Globes.
What?
Did you hear about this?
No, tell me about this.
So NBC pulled the plugs. So that's NBC, which includes movie studios like Universal, Comcast, etc. They pulled the plug on Golden Globes. Tom Cruise has won 3 Golden Globes in the past and has returned his awards, put them in a little box and mailed them back to the Hollywood Foreign Press. And apparently, the whole thing originated with Warner Brothers, who expressed concern to the Globes on behalf of all the different channels that they represent, Warner Brothers, Warner Media, HBO, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, expressed concern that there was not only a track record of racism and sexism and general whiteness, a lack of diversity, but the plan from the Hollywood Foreign Press to turn this around was like, was way too casual. So Hollywood Foreign Press was like, yeah, we're going to definitely like get more diverse over time. And apparently like everybody's calling them on it and they're out. So there's no Golden Globe. I mean, I guess there will be Golden Globes this year, but they won't get aired. And wow. some folks are speculating this is the end of Hollywood Foreign Press.
Wow.
Because with Tom Cruise returning his awards, there's speculation a lot of other A-listers are going to follow suit.
That's crazy. Now, all that said, I mean, the Oscars are the big deal. I mean, what are the Globes, right?
Right, right.
Yeah. So,
but I mean, I guess the only analogy, I mean, there's two ways of looking at this. The one analogy that I would say is, you know, you want to have the minor leagues to feed the major leagues.
Right.
You know, so you know, if you're the Oscars, you are definitely the A ticket, but you want the B ticket. You know, you want somebody down there. You look better as number one if there's a number two in town. So that's one thing. But the second way of looking at it is like, there are other awards shows that can, you know, that may start to move in, you know, may start to be more center stage, or you know, they may move up from like, you know, the American League, and now, you know, they may move up to be in a proper, you know, minor league team.
Yeah. Yeah. Now the Globes had a lot more to it though. Had some TV in it as well.
Yeah. It had all that.
Interesting. Well, that's a big change if that goes away. I was thinking earlier this week, I was just recalling how we were talking about the Oscars and how both of us forgot about them in a way. I mean, you watched them, but then the next day on the radio, like, you forgot to bring them up, and the radio people forgot to bring them up.
Yeah.
And I was like, I wonder if the Oscars are dead too.
Well, there's no way that the Oscars are dead, but there's definitely, I think it worked out well for the Oscars because they had a year where they could, they're sort of in a state of irrelevancy. Yeah. And so they can sort of remake themselves. I say there's no way the Oscars are dead, but they need to come back looking different, you know, and operating differently. It's not just enough to look a little bit different. It needs to operate differently.
Right. Yeah. I guess if you look at it that way. Yeah. 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 For sure. Yeah. So, okay. Moving on. We've got 3 trailers to look at this week. Are you ready for this?
I am so ready for this. And I literally burst out laughing because I was like hanging around, minding my own business, walking down the street, minding my own business. And all of a sudden, the universe was like, hey, Penn, guess what? Venom 2, Let There Be Carnage, the trailer just dropped. You better call David.
I almost texted you and I was like, I know he knows, like, because you've already said, like, by the time somebody texts you, you already know. And I was like, I know he knows, and I'm too, like, distraught about this to, like, I have to save all my comments. My friends are trying to talk to me about it today, and I'm like, I can't talk about it. I can't. I got the podcast later tonight. I gotta save it.
All right, so give it to us. Where are you at?
Oh, Penn. What is this trash? It's just, I mean, it's like Venom now has, he's like good cop, bad cop, buddy cop in it. I don't, you know, like he's walking around. Everyone's like, hey, what's up, Eddie? What's going on, Venom? And then Venom's like, blah, 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 and Eddie translates for him. And they're,
you're even ahead of me. You skipped over what I thought was one of the most problematic parts of the whole trailer.
The fact that it exists?
The opening, like, are they trying to be funny now?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, this whole buddy thing.
Is this a comedy now?
Yeah.
This is The Odd Couple?
Yeah. Yeah, this is The Odd Couple. And it's supposed to be haha hilarious. Let's make, you know, making the breakfast with the tentacle arms. Which, here's the thing about that. Like, you would think that it'd be so much cooler if the tentacle arms were, like, super precise and, like, showed how, like, badass he is because he can do all these things with the tentacles. But right. Instead, they're just, like, slamming into things and knocking stuff over and burning food. And it's like, I mean, what's going on here? Is it alive or is it just not? I mean, what's...
There's a good humor as you get out of Marvel, like, for example, Iron Man, is subtle.
Yeah.
Like, when you're making a superhero movie, which is primarily an action superhero movie, but you want to be funny, it's subtle. You know, and there was nothing subtle about... I think it would have been funnier if, like... He made a, like you're saying, like you make a very valid point, like, you know, like shouldn't the guy be precise? But if you're going for comedy, I feel like the other way you could go is to have him like just make it a perfect waffle, but then like pour something in it, like get your ingredients mixed up or like just real subtle. And then to have Tom Hardy be like, ugh, you know, like just like I could just picture it being done so much better, so much funnier. This played to me like an episode of what's that award show they do on Nickelodeon where the kids get like doused in goo?
Yeah,
they get slimed, you know. This to me was like an episode, it was like something out of Nickelodeon. And what made me, all right, so I'm gonna get off the fence here because I've been having fun teasing you about this and I've been trying to take the high road and sort of generally say like, oh, you know, this is going to be good. Tom Hardy is amazing. And you know, we'll see. I am officially like very worried about this movie. I don't think this is going to be good.
What? Yeah. It looks bad. It looks so bad.
And what pisses me off about that, there's two things. First of all, didn't you notice at the beginning, it didn't say it because it can't. It doesn't say this is a Marvel movie.
Right.
It says in association with Marvel Comics.
Right. Right. Because they're very loosely able to use Spider-Man stuff.
Right.
Just like Morbius will be in his movie has like some of the villains from the Marvel movies. But
right. But you know what my real problem is?
What's that? What's your problem, Penn? What's your problem with Penn?
I have a real problem. I got a problem. I'm going to tell you and all our listeners what my problem is.
Just tell me. Don't worry about them.
Don't worry about them.
They're not listening.
Tell you my problem.
Yeah.
All right. Here's my problem. My problem is this. My problem with this film is Tom Hardy is amazing. I love him. I love watching him. And I feel like this is just a waste of his time. First of all, like, it makes me sad that he spent whatever period of time he spent, however long it took him to make this movie was too long.
Right.
Like, the guy only has so many minutes, right?
Yeah.
You only get, you know, you have 24 hours in a day, and you divide that by 60, and you have that many minutes. And this guy wasted a shit ton of minutes making Venom 2. And now whatever movie it is, it's going to be – that we're going to see him in next, we're going to have to wait for Venom 2 to come and go. And all these other people who don't know what they're talking about are going to start talking bad about Tom Hardy because Venom sucked.
Right. Here, so a couple other things I noticed from this trailer. One of the big things that really bugged me about the first movie was that it was so dark. Everything was backlit, so you couldn't see any of the details of the monster. or a Venom, like, and the other symbiotes, they all looked exactly the same. And it's the, and when they first show Carnage, who used to be one of my favorite Spider-Man villains, he just looks like, like, you can't see any of the details because he's all it's all dark and blacklit and backlit, and I'm like, what? And I go back to this thing. Look, the thing that makes Venom special is he's a reverse Spider-Man. Because the whole thing, I'm going to tell you, because in case you don't know, in case your listeners don't know, the whole thing with Venom is the suit was on Spider-Man, right? The suit didn't have any powers other than being like goopy and stuff. It was on Spider-Man, and it made him kind of too aggressive, so he got rid of it, and the suit didn't like being rejected, and it fell down onto Eddie Brock, who had also just got fired because of Peter Parker. And then they merged, their mutual hatred of Peter Parker Spider-Man merged and made Venom. And because the suit had been on Spider-Man, it gave Eddie all of Spider-Man's powers. But it made him strong. It knew how strong he was, so it made him stronger than Spider-Man. So it's like the reverse Spider-Man. He's bad, and he's stronger. He's more powerful. But in this thing, he's just kind of like a hero who has vague powers and is goopy and is not Venom.
And where do all the tentacles come from? Well, that's, if it's just the suit.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. The original Venom didn't have like tons of tentacles going on, and Carnage did. And that was, Carnage was like the first one to get the tentacle, because Carnage is, I don't know how they'll do it in these crap movies, but Carnage is the child of Venom.
Gotcha.
Because the symbiote asexually reproduces.
Okay.
I know, too much nerd.
All right, we've wasted too much time talking about Venom.
Yeah, we seriously have.
The next trailer is way better, and this is for A Quiet Place Part 2.
Yeah.
Which I was really surprised to find out. I watched this trailer with a friend of mine, a good friend of mine who listens to the podcast regularly. I don't want to point any fingers or name any names, but his name rhymes with Mystery Gobble.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. And he said he never saw A Quiet Place. Now, I'll go a step further and completely throw him under the bus. He never even heard of it.
What?
He did not know what Quiet – he was like, what movie is this? What is this? I was like, this is Quiet Place. He's like, what's that?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Don't worry. We're still friends.
Mystery Gable out there.
I'm looking the other way on this one. But this trailer – got me really excited for it. Reminded me of how much fun the first Quiet Place was and how like the audiences get so quiet.
And it pushes people back into the theaters. Do you notice that?
Yeah.
Like this, this is the movie you have to go back to theaters for, is what the trailer basically says.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of getting people back into the theaters, what are you calling this? The Marvel sizzle trailer? This was the trailer for Eternals. But really, it turned into like a 3-minute sizzle reel for Marvel.
It's called the Marvel Phase 4 trailer.
Oh.
So it advertises all the movies coming up. But it starts off with a quote from our boy Stan Lee, and just Stan Lee, man, just gets you right where it counts.
He gets it.
Right? And then the moment, like, and I'm already kind of like, oh, man. These movies, like, especially when they, I'm rewatching the Marvel movies with some people who've never seen them, who are just slightly younger, who've seen some of them, but not in order. They weren't, like, at the prime. Like,
younger than you?
Who would have thought? There's almost one younger than me.
No.
Yeah.
No.
And it's difficult to explain to them how much these movies meant, or how, like, it's like nowadays, it's like we didn't have anything like this, and even like 6-10 movies in or whatever, like it was still totally groundbreaking, and none of them knew that, like most of them didn't know that the Stingers even existed on the movies that they'd seen, and we're watching them and they're like, oh, why did we wait for that? And I'm like, but you don't understand, like they didn't know that the next movie, we didn't know the next movie was going to be Guardians of the Galaxy. Like, it blew our minds to have this little like hint of what's coming next.
Right.
And that's what, so when they do this kind of thing with these like moments, especially when they're, you know, like God Forever, like all this stuff. And it's like, man, those
on moments, your left.
Yeah. And that's, I tear up every time I see that in the theaters. And just the fact that they didn't show just that scene, they showed it with the audience, like reactions. Yeah. I thought that was so good. And then just the beat for beat, like they're just announcing day and date, you know, when it's coming to the theater, what the title of the next movies are, like,
boom,
get
boom,
ready.
Boom, 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 boom. It's awesome.
My trailer of the week. I'm sorry.
You know who I was sitting next to when that scene came? When Captain America got Thor's hammer, right? And he's like, on your left, sitting right next to you.
Oh my gosh!
Remember, that was so much fun. We were in the IMAX, in the middle, right there, eating our popcorn. Oh man, that was the bomb. That was so great. Much fun.
Yeah,
that was so much fun.
Moment. What an amazing moment.
Who did we make fun of? Somebody like was all kinds of sensitive. A couple weeks later, they wrote into the podcast like, "I'm sorry, I didn't see such and such. I'm sorry, I have children."
It was Diamond Eyed Derek because we gave him a hard time for not seeing what, Thor Ragnarok or something.
Yeah.
Poor guy.
Hey, you want to roll? You know, you got to roll.
Yeah, like, get on board, man. What's up?
I'm just saying. All right. So listen, we often recommend trailers.
Yeah.
We don't recommend Venom. I recommend Quiet Place Part 2, but no fooling around. Yeah. If you're listening to this podcast and you have not seen the Marvel Sizzle trailer, I found it by I thought it was called the Eternals trailer. But if you sort of get on YouTube and plug in Marvel Phase 4 or Eternals or Marvel 2023 or like whatever, you'll find this. It's what, like 3.5 minutes or 2.5 minutes or something. It's a pretty good solid length, but it's totally worth watching. It's so exciting. And a friend of mine said, I texted him. I was like, you got to watch this trailer. And he watched it and then he wrote it back. He wrote me back and he said, this is basically Marvel telling movie theaters, we got your back. And I was like, yeah, I felt that.
Yeah, yeah.
Totally felt that. Like that set of Sizzle trailer is about the theatrical experience.
Oh, yeah. Oh, 100%. Yeah.
None of that shit is going to be on TV.
Nah, bro. Nah. But speaking of things that were in the theater.
That concludes our trailers. And now we're moving into the movie review.
Mm-hmm. Now, we both got ourselves out to the theater to watch the masterpiece, maybe. I don't know. We'll see if we declare it one or not. Wrath of Man, starring your favorite actor.
Right.
Jason and personal friend.
My buddy.
Jason Statham.
Yeah. He and I are, for those of you who are new to the show, Jason Statham and I are in a book club together. That's why David always makes that joke. We don't really know each other that well, but we study classic American literature together.
Now, this is a Guy Ritchie film.
Yeah.
So, you've seen Guy Ritchie films, right?
Love Guy Ritchie films.
Right. Layer Cake is one of my favorite movies. People love Snatch.
Snatch.
Lock, Stock, and what's Two Barrels?
Two Smoking Barrels.
Yeah.
So good. So many good Guy Ritchie movies.
Even the Sherlock Holmes.
Which I want to say, that's my biggest problem with this movie. Like, if this movie was directed by a guy that I never heard of, I probably would have thought to myself, it was fun. It had some holes. You know, it wasn't awesome, but it was a good, fun movie. My problem with this movie is that because it was directed by Guy Ritchie, I thought it was going to be really – or I don't know. I don't want to overhype my expectations. I didn't think it was going to be amazing, but I thought it was going to be better than it was. I'll just say that.
This is my takeaway. Like, I agree with you there. I mean, I don't think it was – I thought the movie was fine.
Yeah, right. That's a perfect way of saying it.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I enjoyed myself. I wasn't bored. I didn't – you know, I don't regret seeing it. I would watch it again if somebody wanted to watch it. I'm not, like, seeking it out or anything. But
right.
But it felt like a Guy Ritchie film, except for here's the thing. It was based in America, and most of his films are based in Europe – or more specifically, England, and with heavy English-accented characters, and the dialogue really fits the culture. But this felt like he was making an American movie, and it was almost like what he thought American culture was like. Like, what do tough guy cops talk about? All they do is make gay jokes all the time, apparently. And then, you know, like, and are borderline homoerotic with each other constantly. And it's like, I don't know, it just wasn't relatable. It felt like somebody who didn't understand American culture put this. But other than that, like storyline wise, like it had the twists and turns and multiple plots of his normal films, which at first I wasn't really enjoying, but then looking back at it, I was like, no, I kind of like that. But at the same time, it kind of made it weird because Jason Statham isn't in it as much as I thought he would be.
Right.
Like, because there's so many plot lines going on with other characters, it was kind of surprising.
I thought it was weird on that topic. You guys have a fancy word for that. What do you call it? Like temporal loops or something like that? Like
a temporal loop where
it was not a temporal loop, but it was some like temporal game. And like, I typically really enjoy when movies do this. I think it's really fun. The first time I ever saw it was, Pulp Fiction. That was the first movie where I ever like, you know, his timeline is not, linear. Right. And I thought that was pretty cool. And in this movie, like, I was really torn because I thought his leaps were super awkward. And I watched it with my friend Scott, and Scott and I were both like pretty confused. Like, wait, that was 4 months ago from that, or 4 months ago from when a minute ago he said it was 5 weeks later.
Right.
Like, yeah. Who are these guys? Now, where are these guys from? And so, but I did say, like, I don't know if it would have made it better or worse. I kind of feel like it might have made it better if they didn't tell you how many weeks ago or months ago, and you were left to your own imagination to like piece everything together. Yeah. Like in Pulp Fiction, Tarantino does not tell you, you know, oh, this is the end of the movie. We're starting the film with the end of the movie.
Yeah. The other thing that another way to have done that would have been, instead of, they could have done the months later stuff. I mean, no, they wouldn't need it, but if it had one unifying thing, and it wouldn't even have to be that big of a thing, but like, say the movie starts off, the first story starts, there's something on the news, and they're like, big car accident on the I-86, right?
Right.
And the news guy's like, so-and-so, the heat's really getting to everybody, there's a big car accident.
Right.
And then that's it. Like, is this prominent enough for you to take notice of it? But then the next story happens, and at some point, either at the beginning or the middle or whatever, you hear the same thing. Now all of a sudden you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like, this is where that is in the timeline. Like, you don't need someone to say 4 months later or 3 months later, you know. It gives you an idea of what's taken place before and after. And I don't know. Just the jumping around, it didn't necessarily bother me time-wise, but it's just like, there was points where I was like, okay, hurry up. Like,
here's my problem with the whole film. The premise of the entire film is based on the fact that Jason Statham was in the wrong place at the wrong time. But my problem with that is that the reason why he was in the wrong place at the wrong time is because people who work for him told him he had to be there.
Yeah.
And that phone call was so unbelievable. Like, it did not hold up, where the guy who works for him and is supposed to be scared of him told him, you have to be there.
Right. They couldn't get anyone else to tell them what direction the truck turned.
Right. And I just felt like if Jason Statham was such a big shot and everybody was so scared of him, they would have found somebody else to do it.
Right. Or some other way to watch it. Like, why did he have to be right there, right next to the outlet?
It could be anybody.
Yeah.
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 So that rubbed me the wrong way.
So, okay. This movie, and this is good news, the movie theater was packed.
Mm.
Packed. I remember the last time that I sat in the theater, and there were, like, you know, you have the separation of seats thing still going on, but there were people at the minimum amount of seats away from me, which is cool. And see everybody out. But at the same time, brought some of the culture back that I kind of forgot about. this crew of older guys, and I don't know if they were with their mom or whatever, but they were just jib-jabbing through the whole movie. But all stuff, like, some of it I had to laugh at because it was just so funny. At one point, like, when he gets shot, Jason Statham's on the ground. The guy goes, yeah, this is how we get the wrath of man. I'm just like, what? So I couldn't get annoyed because the stuff they were saying was kind of cracking me up. But anyway.
Yeah. All right. So our review, The Wrath of Man, is, I think David summed it up perfectly with a one-word description. The Wrath of Man is, and I quote, fine.
Fine. Yeah. Yeah. So let's move on to listeners' notes, questions, answers, trivia, and games for us, apparently.
And imploration. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we... Okay.
All right.
Yeah, game time.
All right, well, let's do Frodo's first. Frodo wrote
all right,
in.
All right.
She said she's totes down.
Totes.
For four more Mortal Kombat movies. She's like, bring it. She wants it. Give it to her. Straight up. And then she turned around, and I saw it. She got out. She put her hands together like a steeple and sat down and said.
Made a big scene.
She said, Pen, hear me.
Please
watch Invincible. It's really good. It's very, very, very bloody and gory, and increasingly so. And it has expletives.
Oh, I love an expletive. Yeah. I love expletives.
Yeah. So if that didn't sell it to you,
right?
I don't know what else could. Frodo's got it right up for you.
I'm on board. I'm going to watch Invincible.
Okay.
And is this the one that comes with the compendium?
Well, that's... If you want to read it, I have the compendium. But trust me, you're never touching this thing.
I'm going to put the compendium on top of my copy of Dune.
Yeah, yeah. See, I mean, look, I got it right here. Look at how big that is. This is volume 3 because I have volume 2 right here as well. Equally as big. Let's hold... Both of these together. Look at how much books that is. That's a lot of books.
Look at how much books that is. That's the quote of the week, ladies and gentlemen. Look at how much books that is.
That's what I'm saying. Look at how much books that is, Penn. Come on. Seriously.
Oof. Oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness. All right. So, but then, I also got something cool here.
From Game Time Jason.
Game Time Jason.
All right, you're gonna walk us through this.
Yeah, okay. So he says, inspired by a podcast game I've heard on video game podcasts where they have to guess the game based on reading the back of the box description. Figured you both would enjoy playing a similar game. Introducing Guess the Movie Title. These five movies were the top five movies at the box office this weekend, 20 years ago, so May 4th through 6th, 2001. And he removed words to not to give it away. All right, let's start at number 5. You ready?
I'm not.
When a blank blank under Secret Service when a blank blank under Secret Service protection is kidnapped from a private school, Detective blank blank investigates the case, even though he's recovering from the loss of his partner.
Oh, God. I can picture it. Isn't this, doesn't the kid get kidnapped in the driveway?
Ooh, I don't know. I mean, the only thing that comes to mind is this Kindergarten Cop, but that's definitely not it because that's way older.
Right. I don't know. Wait, do you have the answer, Keith?
I have the answers.
Okay, good. Because I don't know this one. I can picture, I think the kid gets kidnapped in the driveway.
Oh, man. I would have never, ever in a million years guessed this. It's Along Came a Spider.
Okay.
It's got people in it. Okay. Morgan Freeman.
Okay. It's got people in it.
Yeah. So, all right. Next one.
These are all from 2001.
Yeah.
Okay.
Using high-tech gadgets, blank, have to save their... reactivated blank when they're taken by an evil high-tech company. Using high-tech gadgets, someone has to save their reactivated something when they're taken by an evil high-tech company.
God, I have no idea. That doesn't even ring a bell.
All right, let's find out. We would have never got this. Spy Kids.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Using high-tech gadgets, two kids have to save their reactivated OSS top spy parents when they're taken by an evil high-tech company. Wow.
Lame.
Right. Blank is determined to improve herself while she looks for love in a year, which she keeps a blank.
Oh, Bridget Jones's diary.
Yeah, I was going to say, Bridget Jones. Yep, Bridget Jones' diary. Got it. At least we got one.
All right.
Yeah. All right. A young hotshot blank is in the middle of a blank and is coming apart at the seams. A former blank is called in to give him guidance. A young hotshot cop, maybe, is in the middle of a divorce. Hotshot.
Oh, it's got to be a cop. It's got to be like a lawyer or a hotshot.
Man, I don't know this one at all. Do you? Any?
No.
All right. Driven. I could have hotshot. Young hotshot driver is in the middle of a championship season and is coming apart at the seams. A former kart champion is called to give him guidance. This is a Stallone movie, right? I can't see.
Well, let me see.
IMDb Pro. I can't. All right.
All right. Let's last go to the one. Next one.
All right.
Is this the last one? This is the
last one.
All right. Because then I have another one for you.
Okay. The blank body of blank is shipped to a museum in London where he once again wakes and begins his campaign of rage and terror. The Mummy
The
2.
Mummy Returns.
Yeah. Mummy Returns. Yeah.
I got you. I got one for you.
Okay.
All right. Are you ready?
Yeah.
A meek blank from the blank and eight companions set out on a journey to destroy the powerful one blank and save blank Earth from the Dark Lord blank.
Wow. That's so hard. Could it be the Lord of the Rings?
All right. I got another one for you. Wait, hang on a sec. I lost it. Oh, there it is. All right. Here's one for you. I'm going to just read it to you. And I'm not going to take out any words.
Okay.
I'm going to read the description and see if you know the movie.
Okay, it's The Last Jedi. Right.
No, I'm staying in 2001.
Okay. All right.
A decidedly odd couple with ulterior motives convinced Dr. Grant to go to Isla Sorna for a holiday, but their unexpected landing startles the island's new inhabitants.
Yeah, it's Jurassic Park 3.
Yeah.
You got me. I mean, Dr. Grant and Isla Norba, those are the keys.
I guess I'm not a legit Jurassic Park fan because Dr. Grant and Isla Sorna mean nothing to me.
Tisk, tisk.
Memento came out in the same era. That was Christopher Nolan. That was the first time I was like, oh, that dude. I'd like to see more movies by that dude.
He done did it. You were like, he done did it, folks.
Done did it. Mulholland Drive came out in that era. Vanilla Sky, Monsters Ball, Moulin Rouge. This was a good Training Day.
Was that Spider-Man? Did Spider-Man come out that year?
Maybe, but it's not. I don't think so because it's not in the top. Spider-Man. I'm looking at a list of the top 30 titles. Bridget Jones's Diary was number 27. One of my all-time favorite movies came out that year, Ocean's 11, number 28. George Clooney, Brad Pitt, Julia Roberts, Matt Damon. Fast and the Furious, the first one.
Really?
Yep.
All right. Well, okay, Jason, thanks for sending this in. This was fun. Here's what I want you to do. I think we could do this game again, but let's tweak it a little bit. Instead of blanks, I want you to fill it in. Like, this might take a little twerking, a little bit twerking, tweaking.
Twerking.
Also some twerking.
Can you twerk, David?
Man, I got a TikTok. I know what's up.
Are you kidding me? What's up?
So, I mean, maybe put in like other names, descriptions, and we have to kind of figure it out, even though it's slightly off or something, or.
I'm going to try to bring this game next week, and I'm going to get my own, but it's going to be movies that we have for sure seen.
Okay. Yeah. Cause some of these I had definitely not seen.
Like, so. Like Spy Kids, like the title vaguely rings a bell, but I sure as hell don't know what the plot was.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's move on to what are you watching? What are you reading? What are you doing this week? What's up with you, Penn? What have you been up to?
Well, I haven't been up to much because I got a lot going on. But my friend recently sent me an audiobook that he wants me to listen to called The Subtle Art of Not Giving a F.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is that the key? It has to be an audiobook?
No, it has to have expletives in the title.
This is why whoever sent you this and Frodo are going to get you to watch and do and read something before I can get you to look at Dune.
If the title was effing Dune,
yeah,
I would have already read it by now because that's something I can relate to.
You're like, I say that all the time.
Now you're talking my language.
So have you touched this book at all yet or listened to it?
I have not. But what's interesting about it is that the premise is that there are only so many Fs that a person can give. So therefore, just like there's only so many minutes in a day.
Wow.
But I do want to say, I watched a documentary on Netflix about Miles Davis. And I think we've talked on the show before. You know, I play the piano and I have a little background in music. And this was a proper documentary. I forget the name of the documentary, but it's, you know, relatively new and it covers his entire life. And Miles Davis, as you already know, is just, you know, the most influential jazz musician ever, played trumpet and basically redefined jazz. And for over the course of 50 years, every 10 years, he sort of took jazz to another level. But anyway, this was an incredible documentary. And if you have any kind of passing interest in jazz or Miles Davis, be sure to check this one out. So that's the only thing that I can recommend is the Miles Davis documentary. I'm also still watching and enjoying loving Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Nice. Can't wait for you to get to the end of that so we can talk about it.
Yeah. What about you? What are you up to?
So this week I started watching Jupiter Ascending, which is Netflix show. They were building up. It's a Mark Millar book. It's about
Superman. Oh, yeah. It looks like Thor.
Yeah. He kind of looks like Thor. It's not so great. It's lacking a lot. It's confusing. It's like if they would have told us like the premise at the beginning and then built off of that, it would have been more interesting. But instead, they have the normal plot and then about 10 minutes of the show, each episode is like a flashback as to how they got their powers. And so I'm pretty sure the last episode will show finally how they got their powers while also some sort of big climax at current time. But I'm so barely invested and I have the hardest time staying awake, but I want to see what happens. But that's about
Isn't that ridiculous? Isn't that ridiculous? And I we all do it. I've done it. We've all done it. Isn't it just ridiculous when we watch stuff that we're just like, why am I still watching this?
Well, it's
yet here I am still watching it.
Yeah. I found it's a really good show. When I don't want to watch, I don't want to get up, but I don't want to invest in anything.
Yeah.
So I just put it on.
I tell you what show I started and turned off because I was like, I would rather literally sit here in silence and stare at the wall than to continue to watch this depressing slog.
Oh my gosh.
The Mayor of Easton.
Oh. No good.
No, I thought it was lame. I thought it was like, I mean, maybe I didn't give it enough.
I don't even remember what that's about.
It's like a cop show, so I thought it was going to be great. But then all of a sudden, they're talking about some kid who disappeared or was found in the bottom of a creek or something, and it was like depressing. I was like, I don't want to watch shows where kids get abused or abducted or taken or something like
on HBO, no. Right?
Yeah.
That looked really depressing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that it's good. It's Kate Winslet, I believe, and she's talented. But I just wasn't into it. I found it depressing, and I was like, nah. Yeah. I'll just go have a bowl of cereal.
Well, instead, you can watch Invincible. It gets really bloody.
So, Kayla came home from college with a box of Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Oh, snap.
So I'm living the dream over here. I don't know what you're doing downtown, but I'm living the dream.
You like? I can imagine she walked in, your head popped up from behind the counter. Is that contraband?
What have we here?
Did you bring sugar? I need it. So, all right. Well, next week, we're going to watch Here Today, right?
Yep, with Billy Crystal and Tiffany Haddish.
Yeah. Okay, so this looks to be like a lighthearted, hopefully heartwarming story.
Yeah, I'm not sure lighthearted is the word that I would choose, but I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Well, it definitely looks like a hearted movie.
Yes, it's Well, I'll tell you what. Tune in next week and we'll tell you.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Well, look, if you want to be a part of the show, send us your games, you know, whatever, your comments, your questions. Best way to do that is go ahead and shoot us an email, podcast@penncinema.com. We cannot wait to hear from you. Now, if you want to support the show, Penn, what's the number one way people can do that?
Well, what a lot of people do is they just tell their friends.
Right. That's easy.
That's easy. But the super fans, there's a new thing going on. There's a whole new trend. Oh, I don't know if you
I probably you heard haven't heard about it.
Have you heard about this? No. I'll tell you about it. Here's what's happening. What people are doing is they're getting themselves invited to, because, you know, the quarantine's starting to lift and people are starting to come back and get together. And so I was at a party this weekend and I was there and eventually I needed to use the men's room. And so I noticed when I got in there that somebody had written on the roll of toilet paper, listen to the Penn Cinema podcast.
Really?
Yeah. So that's what I think people are doing is they're starting to like sneak into bathrooms, and like what the really devoted people are doing is they're like unrolling the toilet paper, stretching it across the room and then like sticking a note in the paper. And then you got to like, cause you know how, if you've ever like unrolled a long roll of toilet paper and then try to re-roll it, it doesn't come back.
It's not the same. Yeah.
We're seeing a whole new thing now in bathrooms across the country where rolls of toilet paper are like clumped. They're all like clumped around on the toilet roll.
And people are still like, okay,
I need toilet paper. So off they go. They pull a roll. And then as they pull it, out drops this note. And they're like, oh, yes, that's exactly what I should do is listen to the Penn Cinema podcast.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's what you can do. And you know, that's you know, whatever. It's just – it's the rage. It's all – the look, all the kids are doing it.
I just hope you get a story of someone cleaning the bathrooms at the theater. And they're like, the toilet paper was rolled up with this note in it.
Oh. That would be great because I guarantee you at least half, if not more, at least half of the staff at Penn Cinema do not know there's a Penn Cinema podcast.
Even though there's a sign on the wall.
Right. Yeah. No, they're oblivious.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, once again for the Penn Cinema podcast, I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
Take care
and
party on.
Thanks for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.